It's Veterans Day, and we want to take some time to hear the voices of those who served. Theodore Cummings was a Marine during World War II and fought in the bloody Battle of Guadalcanal.
A sailor gave me a can of peaches. He opened it up for me. Big can of peaches and that syrup. It was champagne. Beautiful that guy was.
That sound is part of the Library of Congress Veterans History Project collection. The project's director is Karen Lloyd. She's a retired Army pilot. Colonel Lloyd, welcome.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Sure. So first, just tell us about this project.
It's an amazing project. It's volunteer-based, and so I would ask that all of your listeners really think about how they can participate with the veteran that's in their life. Studies have shown that 62% of the nation's are related to a veteran in some way, and if not related, then find a veteran in your neighborhood and ask them their story, and not just asking their story, but really listen to what they say and what they did. I think that you'll discover that some of it really resonates with you about their service to the country. I mean, it's fascinating to hear what they did and saw or felt while they were in uniform.
Well, let's listen to some of the recordings that you have. And by the way, the project also includes original photographs and written histories, but the real crux of it is the oral history. So let's listen to some of that. Robert Chenoweth was an Army private in Vietnam. He was a prisoner of war for 5 years, and he was held at the camp that was often referred to as the Hanoi Hilton.
In a situation like that, you always have people who are kind, and then every once in a while you have people who are not kind. Yeah. What was difficult was the fact that you were always hungry, the fact that you were confined, you know, you couldn't do what you wanted, go where you wanted. And there was some hostility. I mean, there was some anger towards you, you know.
Yeah.
We experienced that more in the countryside, I think, than we did in the prison camps, because in the countryside, people were being directly affected by what the American planes were doing.
That was Private Robert Chenoweth describing his time in the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. Colonel Lloyd, when you hear something like that, as a veteran yourself, what do you think?
I am just amazed by the different things that these veterans pick up on and how they relate it to how their life is today. We have another member who is a veteran who was in the Hanoi Hilton. His name is John Stavast, and his collection is really amazing because he chose to write in a diary all the different things to keep his mind active, and we have a copy of that. And we also have a copy of the reunion pictures. And one of the things that strikes me about that reunion picture is if I'm having a bad day and I ever need to understand what joy is all about, the picture of him meeting up with his family at the reunion site is of pure joy, and it's absolutely fascinating to see.
When you read that diary, what did you learn about his experience there, how he kept his mind sharp?
He taught himself French along with the other individuals that were there with him. And the other thing that he did was he kept track of the new POWs that arrived. And what really gave me goosebumps is that on the 26th of November, Senator John McCain, who wasn't a senator at the time, arrived. And there it is written down. We actually have his as well. And so that's the importance of reaching out and getting a variety of different interviews from your friends and from your neighbors and from your family, because what we're discovering is they're all connected in some way, and that makes them even more fascinating.
Well, let's hear from another one. Clara Hoke was a nurse during World War I, and in 1971, she talked about the job she was faced with when there was a desperate need for nurses at the time.
There were only about 30 nurses there at this time when I got there. And they were very, very much in need of nursing care there, so nobody could stay off duty too long with ailments or what have you. They evidently had my record and put me in surgery. I was in surgery practically all the time after that.
So that clip was from 40 years ago or more. Let's hear a more modern one, a clip from Takeda Shande Perkins. She's a Marine staff sergeant who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and here she is talking about her experiences in Iraq.
A lot of times when you achieve certain things as a woman, certain males, and not all males, I'm not trying to stereotype, but they would immediately say, oh, she only got it because she was a woman. So you had to always not just do better, but you had to do twice as good as your male counterpart in order for some of them to think you were equal.
So, Colonel Lloyd, I played those back-to-back because I think the juxtaposition is really remarkable. On the one hand, the story of a nurse from World War I. On the other hand, a woman who is really at the front lines. It really demonstrates how different the role of women in the military has gotten over the years.
Oh, it certainly has. And as they say now, there is no real front line. It's everywhere you are. And so there have been some really good decisions made to at least acknowledge that there is no front line, that the front line really is everywhere that you are and where the women are. I could identify when she talked about, well, it's not all the guys, but sometimes, not just sometimes, but you certainly do feel like you have to be at least twice as good as the guys to get the same level of credit.
You experienced that in your own service.
Oh, I certainly did. I certainly did. I didn't experience it in my first assignment, which was they were introducing women into the 2nd Infantry Division in Korea. But I went from there to flight school, and I will tell you that I was told more than once by my classmates that I was taking a guy's place. And that just made me want to try harder and do better. And so if they thought that was going to cause me not to want to be where I was, they were mistaken.
Well, Staff Sergeant Perkins obviously is a woman, but also an African-American, which represents two of the groups that you don't really hear from very often in this project.
Well, you're exactly right. We've done a survey of the collections that we do have, and we are reaching out. We're looking for women. We're looking for chaplains. We're looking for Native Americans. We're looking for Hispanic Americans. We're looking for African Americans. We know that our collections aren't as diverse as we need for them to be. We're looking for all the different conflicts that folks have served in. We're looking for across the board. And that's why we need your viewers to reach out to their friends, their neighbors, their relatives, and ask them what their stories were and have that conversation. I mean, Veterans Day is a great day to think about, wow, the veterans in my life. And then perhaps over the Thanksgiving Day holiday, arrange so that you can interview them or at least have a conversation with them about what their service was like. For example, I know that you've recently interviewed Chuck Hagel. And we have the privilege of having both he and his brother, Tom Hagel's interviews. And something that Tom said that really resonated with me was, you know, everybody talks about the Vietnam War, but really there were millions of Vietnam Wars, and it's getting those stories that's going to add to the depth of the experience that other Americans, all Americans, are going to be able to have to learn what it was like from each of those different perspectives.
Well, and Vietnam vets are getting older. We used to talk about how World War II vets were dying off, but the generation that fought in Vietnam is also aging.
I must tell you that I feel that personally. My husband was a Vietnam vet, got a Silver Star. I didn't get his story before he passed away last summer. And I must tell you that those lost voices, no one knows that better than I do from a firsthand perspective. And I must encourage everyone, all of your listeners, to really think about those voices that we can't afford to lose. We really do need every one of those stories so we have a better sense of what it really was like.
Colonel Karen Lloyd is a retired Army pilot, and she's director of the Library of Congress Veterans History Project. Karen, thank you, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll tell you how to submit your own interviews with vets to the Library of Congress on our website, hereandnow.org. And this does hit close to home for me. My father was a lieutenant in the Army's 9th Infantry Division in Vietnam. He volunteered to serve at a time when many wouldn't dream of it. As a boy, I'd sometimes ask him about his tour. He spent a year patrolling the Mekong River Delta. I know that. He and his men laid mines in the rice paddies. I always wanted to hear more. There were two Purple Hearts hanging on a plaque in the hallway of our home. I barely knew how he got them. I was starving for war stories. But even then, I could tell he didn't want to spend much time explaining to his son what he saw there and what he asked others to do. As a grown man who lives a life in relative peace, I can respect that. Happy Veterans Day, Dad, and to everyone who's been brave enough to wear the uniform.